Cress, brother and sister, D.H. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, February 1, 1905. Dear brother and sister Cress, I have just read the very interesting letters received in the last mail from Dr. Cress and Sister Irwin. I am always pleased to receive letters from you, and I thank you for writing so many particulars. I am beginning this letter some days before the mail leaves, so that I shall be sure not to disappoint you. I have much to do in writing out that which must be written in order to straighten things out, lest the enemy shall come in and lead unwary feet astray. My heart is often sad, and often I spend the greater part of the night in prayer. I am thankful that the Lord is so kind and helpful to me. I desire to praise Him with heart and soul and voice. I wish to say, my dear friends, whom I love in the Lord, that the suggestions which I make to you in my letters are not to be taken as reproofs, but as light that has shone upon my pathway for the sanitarium with which you are connected, and for other sanitariums. Therefore do not, I beseech you, take these things as reproofs, but as a word of instruction from the Lord, sent to be a blessing, not to cause you discouragement. The Lord will help you, and lead you, and prosper you. He has done this, and He will continue to do it. He appreciates your work, and He will be with you in every emergency. I cannot advise you to change your position and go elsewhere. You are being greatly blessed by the Lord in physical and spiritual lines, and you have qualifications that enable you to do the work that needs to be done. We are so thankful that you are connected with the sanitarium. Do not change your place, supposing that someone else would do better. Go straight forward in the name of the Lord, and watch and pray and believe. We have stern battles to fight, and when I see that the Lord is giving you precious victories as you advance step by step, I say, may God abundantly bless them. Do not fear, but trust. Improvements will certainly continually be made. There is no one at work in the Lord's vineyard but needs to become more perfect in the preparation of food that is appetizing and yet entirely wholesome. The proper combination of foods is a science in which we are to become more and more skilled. We are to stand firm by the principles of healthful living. In the matter of diet, no one can be a criterion for another. Food that may be perfectly adapted to one might not be at all advisable for another. This is why I have urged that all our people become intelligent on the point. We are to study how to meet the people where they are. The Lord has chosen you, brother and sister Cress, to do this work in the Warunga Sanitarium. You are to instruct those who need to learn the whys and wherefores in regard to hygiene in eating, drinking, and dressing. Never, never provide an impoverished diet. I know that many have received wrong impressions in our institutions because of a failure in this respect on the part of those in charge. Those who come to the sanitarium from the higher classes are accustomed to a rich and varied diet, and they will need table fare different in many respects from the food that you or I would place on our tables. Some of us find it necessary to pass by the nicely prepared dishes that others in the family may eat freely of. The preparation of food for sanitarium patients needs close and careful attention. Some of the patients come from homes in which the tables are daily loaded with rich food, and every effort should be made to set before them food that is both appetizing and wholesome. The Lord would have the institution with which you are connected one of the most satisfying and enjoyable places in the world. I want you to show special care in providing for the patients a diet that will not endanger health, and at the same time will recommend our principles of health reform. This can be done, and, being done, it will make a favorable impression on the minds of the patients.
It will be an education to them, showing them the advantages of hygienic living above their own way of living. And when they leave the institution, they will carry with them a report that will influence others to go there. Dr. Kress, we would be much pleased to see you, but we dare not say, leave your present post of duty. We pray that the rich blessing of God may be upon you. At times, I long to go to Australia again and visit you and the sanitarium that is now filling with patients. We thank the Lord for the prosperity that has attended the institution. I have just been writing a letter to Dr. Nicola of the Melrose Sanitarium. He fears that they will not be able to get means sufficient to build a sanitarium that will accommodate the higher classes. But I have no fears in this respect.
I was glad to get the copy of the article taken from the Outlook. I was greatly pleased with most of it. It will be a means of good, I am sure. As I read the article, I felt so thankful that such words could be spoken of the sanitarium and its workers. Let us thank the Lord and praise His holy name, and let everything connected with the sanitarium give character to the truth for this time. As you strive to do this, Christ will be in you a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. John 4, verse 14. You will be daily refreshed by the streams of His salvation, and you will be a source of refreshing to those around you, for from you will flow rivers of living water. John 7, verse 38. The beauty of holiness will be seen in your life, for the comeliness of Christ will be put upon you. We all have the same cause for thanksgiving. The resurrection and ascension of our Lord is a sure evidence of the triumph of the saints of God over death and the grave, and a pledge that heaven is open to those who wash their robes of character and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus ascended to the Father as a representative of the human race, and God will bring those who reflect His image to behold and share with Him His glory. There are homes for the pilgrims of earth. There are robes for the righteous, with crowns of glory and palms of victory. All that perplexed us in the providences of God will then be made plain. The things hard to be understood will then find an explanation. The mysteries of grace will unfold before us. Where our finite minds discovered only confusion and broken purposes, we shall see the most perfect and beautiful harmony. We shall know that infinite love ordered the experiences that seemed most trying and hard to bear. As we realize the tender care of Him who makes all things work together for our good, we shall rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Pain cannot exist in the atmosphere of heaven. In the home of the redeemed, there will be no tears, no funeral trains, no badges of mourning. The inhabitants shall not say, "I am sick." The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. One rich tide of happiness will flow and deepen as eternity rolls on. Think of this. Tell it to the children of suffering and sorrow, and bid them rejoice in hope. The nearer we come to Jesus, the more clearly we behold the purity and greatness of His character, the less we shall feel like exalting self. The contrast between our characters and His will lead to humiliation of soul and deep heart-searching. The more we love Jesus, the more entirely will self be humbled and forgotten. When our souls are filled with pride and self-esteem, we cannot realize the need of divine power. But when we are aware of our own insufficiency, our hearts cry out, "Other refuge have I none," and we hang our helpless souls on Him who is mighty to save. He who is meek in spirit, He who is purest and most childlike, will be made strong for the battle. he will be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 3, verse 16. He who feels his weakness and wrestles with God as did Jacob, and like this servant of old cries, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Genesis 32, verse 26. Will go forth with the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. The atmosphere of heaven will surround him. He will go about doing good. His influence will be a positive force in favor of the religion of Christ. These words point out what the workers in the sanitarium may be. I am so glad that we can come to God in faith and humility and plead with him until our souls are brought into such close relationship with Jesus that we can lay our burdens at his feet, saying, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. The Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Our cold, faithless hearts may be quickened into sensibility and life until we can pray in faith, preach in faith, and say in faith, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2, verse 20. Let us seek for the fullness of the salvation of Christ. Let us follow in the footsteps of the Son of God, for the promise is, He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8, verse 12.
I am so thankful that you can say to those who come to the sanitarium, Jesus invites you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Say to the weary and heavy laden, Have you found this blessed rest? Or are you slighting the Savior's invitation? Do you pour out your trials and grievances into human ears? Do you go for help to those who cannot give you rest? Have faith in God. Believe His precious promises. Go to Jesus in childlike simplicity, saying, Lord, I have borne these burdens as long as I can, and now I lay them upon the burden bearer. Do not gather them up again, but leave them all with Jesus. Go free, for Jesus has set you free. He has said, I will give you rest. Verse 28. Our God is a very present help in time of need. He is acquainted with the most secret thoughts of our hearts, with all the intents and purposes of our souls. When we are in perplexity, even before we open to Him our distresses, He is making arrangements of our deliverance. Our sorrow is not unnoticed. He knows much better than we do just what is necessary for the good of His children, and He leads us as we would choose to be led if we could see the end from the beginning. I rejoice that we have this cheering message to give to others. I have just received a most encouraging letter from Brother Ballinger, who is at present connected with Brother Palmer in the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. He writes that they had had several nice rains and were having still more. This is a cause of great rejoicing, for it is nearly 10 years since so much rain has fallen in that section of California. I will try to send you a copy of Brother Ballinger's letter. Just now, we are very busy. We are finishing up Ministry of Healing, which is now in the printer's hands, and are making an effort to prepare matter for Testimony 9.
I have been reading the matter prepared for Ministry of Healing, and I feel much relieved to think that the book is ready for publication and that it will soon be in circulation. In Testimony 9, there will be a department giving a history of the work that has been done for the colored people of the southern states and showing the needs of this work. For years, very plain testimonies have been born regarding the necessities of this work, and yet very little has been done to aid the workers. If the Lord will help us to complete the work on these two books before General Conference, we shall thank Him and take courage. I am longing to get out to ride, but it is raining. And though the rain is coming down very gently, I dare not expose myself. I think of you all very often, and I hope that you will write as often as you can. I read your writing nearly as well as print. I may sometimes send you a letter in my own handwriting, and you must tell me whether you can read it readily.